Lord, we thank you this morning.
Thank you.
For your love. Greatest gift that God's ever given to us. He sent forth His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm so thankful that God's love has touched us. We need to give Him credit, glory, and honor. You know, there were days in this last year that you thought you made it on your own. But it was the thread of God's love that He had around you that kept you. Some of the greatest revelations that we can have in our life is to realize it wasn't us. We didn't overcome the problem. We didn't find the solution. We didn't have the answer. We didn't do it right. But He did it right when He sent His love to us. He gave it to us. I'm so thankful for that. Message this morning that God's laid unto my spirit. Here we are in 2012. You can do the calculation and the math, and you've heard, like I've heard most of your life growing up, that Jesus was on the cross and He had been risen from the dead. And we say that's been over 2,000 years ago. Well, we got to start adding and realizing that it's farther away from that. It's closer to the return. Many preachers going into this year are going to be talking about the soon return of the Lord. Now I want you to think about, yes, you need to think about the return of Jesus. But for a title, this is what I have this morning. I want you and I to be praying for the return of Christ. As we get into the Word, you'll understand. But if you know what the word Christ is, it represents anointing. When Jesus was born, one of the describing words over Him was Christ, the Anointed One. I know that there's all kinds of media, even the secular world is looking at the events of history, the troubles and the problems that are mounting up in our societies. There's been documentaries and people that are not even Christians talking about the end of the world. I'm sure that by now you've heard of the Mayans calendar, all the different things that are talking about come December of 2012, the world will end. That's going to be a main theme that you're going to hear in lots of different ways throughout 2012. But I came this morning to not take your focus off of the physical return of Christ Jesus, but for you and I to begin to pray now for the return of Christ, the anointing of who He is to come back on the church. If it's true that we're in the last days, if it's true that there are great difficult things coming, if it's true that you can look at the signs and the seasons, if you believe that things have begun to open up in and start to see the footprints and the markings of the final stages, then what the church needs more than ever before is to begin to pray, God, the same way that you came upon the earth in the anointing, the same Jesus that read from the Word of God and said, I am anointed to preach. I am the one anointed to heal and to go out and deliver those who are lost. We need to pray again that we don't just have church. We don't just have a word. We don't just have a little shout and a testimony. But that what the church of the living God must have in the final days, the final chapters of the living church, is we must have the anointing coming back. Every place that you read in your scripture where it says Christ, Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Christ is the titlement. Christ is the pronouncement. Christ is the anointing of the Lord God being displayed to a world that had no anointing in it. So we must have Christ return. I'm not talking about when we're captured in the air. I'm not talking about when we escape out of this life and into the next. I'm talking about right now in the days of the church, while it is still today. Pray for God's anointing. Going into the year of 2012, I believe God has put into my spirit the word anointing. And a challenge upon the church that if there's ever a time to pray for something, pray for His anointing. Anointing in the Bible talks about a rubbing, a smearing, something that is not detachable but is attached. The priests, the kings, the office and the title places that they had, there was an anointing that took place for them to fill that office. In the last days, before the return of Jesus to rule and reign and take His church home, the enemy is going to be doing all that he can to disqualify, discredit, and dishonor the anointing of the Lord God. He'll let us have a church building. He'll let us use a Bible. He'll let us write songs of praise. He'll let us even tell people certain things. But when we start to believe for the anointing again, when we start to believe that it is that anointing that breaks the yoke of all bondage, Isaiah 10:27 said, "It shall come to pass in that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." One of the things that must be in the church of the last time is the anointing oil. Without the anointing oil, it's representation of saying there's no one that wants the anointing. There's no leadership that wants the anointing. There's leadership that has agendas and programs and plans. But there's no anointing in those things without the anointing oil to represent the Holy Spirit. I want to teach you a little bit from the Word of God that when you look at the word anointing, when you see the places that talks about the olive branch and the olive oil, and you see the places in Scripture where it talks about how a priest, Samuel, would anoint David before he would become king. How you can read in the Scriptures where an alabaster box was broken and a special anointed oil was poured over the head of Jesus and also His feet. What is going on is that that is symbolic, teaching us that He is anointed from head to toe. He is the Alpha who was anointed. He is the Omega who is anointed in the end. His church is birthed through anointing and will remain and sustain in anointing. This is not the time to fold up our hands and beg God, get us out of this earth. This is the time that the church has a great opportunity to let the anointing revive and come back. And so that the anointing would be upon the pew, upon the pastor, upon the church, the congregation. And in that anointing, the yokes of bondage are destroyed. We have an opportunity this year in 2012 to see the anointing break and destroy the yokes of bondage. That's where my prayer is. I'm going to give you some information from the book of Revelation to tell you why it's so important to pray for the anointing. It's a little bit of a summary. Revelation is a book of prophecy. Things that are being fulfilled, things that are happening, things that are to come. Revelation's the most important and central theme for the church and the believer in Jesus Christ is found in two places of Revelations. Revelations 19 verse 6 and Revelation 17 verse 14. I'm not discrediting anybody that studies the end times. I'm not discrediting anybody that studies and looks at all the signs and everything that's pointing to the return of Jesus. But sometimes I think we get caught up in trying to figure out the date and trying to figure out the time instead of realizing that there is a central theme right in the book of Revelations that we, the church, need to pay attention to. What it says in those two verses is the Lord God omnipotent reigns and He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. What I'm telling you is in the book of Revelations, you're going to read about wars. You're going to read about spiritual warfare. You're going to read about a dragon, the devil. You're going to read about the beast to come. You're going to read about the Antichrist, the anti-word, all the things that are rising up in the world today. But as the church needs to focus on the central theme, and what is it for you and I in the book of Revelation is know that God is omnipotent. God is going to reign forever and forever. Don't get caught up in the hype and the hysteria of whether or not the world's going to end in 2012. Just get caught up in the anointing of His word that's going to save your soul and get you through to victory. And every foe in your life can be destroyed in 2012 as we pray the anointing of God to break every yoke of bondage. The next most important message to the church and those who choose to follow after the Lamb of God, you have to understand something. That until the Lord Jesus physically come back and rule and reign and take up His power and authority on this earth, there is going to be continual spiritual warfare, conflict. If you have decided that in 2012 you're not going to have any spiritual conflict, then you're not a part of the body of Christ, for it will continue to go through spiritual conflict. So knowing that this is highly valuable for the church to understand, you need to know what is the plot. What is the desire of the devil? What is he up to? What is his business going to be? And I'm going to give you some references to Scripture this morning, and you yourself can study them. Revelations 12, 17 calls him out by dragon. Lets you know what the dragon is up to. Number one, the Scripture points out that he's enraged. I'm not talking about a dragon that wants to be your friend, like Puff the Magic Dragon. I'm not talking about a dragon that somebody just draws up and makes a cute little character out of. This dragon, Satan himself, is enraged and on fire with hell in his blood. He's bent on destroying the family of God. He will not relent. Why is he so enraged? He was defeated at the cross. His dominion was taken from him. He's restricted and limited, and you need to know that this morning. If you're a blood-bought believer of Jesus Christ, the devil is limited and restricted as to what he can do to you. He knows his time is short. You can read about the enraging spirit of the dragon, Revelations 12, 17. It's not by coincidence that crime is getting more hideous. It's not by coincidence that violence is so rampant upon our world. It's not by coincidence that terrorist attacks are something that is common that we know about today in news all the time. He's enraged and he's enraging and being behind many of these attacks. What did he do? He copied the pattern of the Lord God and designed an Antichrist Trinity Revelations 13, verses 1 through 10, and also verse 13, you'll find the first beast. Revelations chapter 13, verses 11 and through 17, you'll find the second beast. So you've got the dragon, who is Satan. And you've got beast number 1 in Revelations 13, 1 through 10. And you've got beast number 2 in Revelations 13, verse 11 through 17. What are the beasts doing? What is their plan? What is Satan's plot? How is he going to bring the Antichrist spirit into the world? Revelations 13, verses 1 through 10 and 13. This is where you can find that the first beast or the monster that Satan uses, it is symbolizing an Antichrist government and a political power. Look around your world today and just ask yourself, what type of government do we have? What kind of political power is gaining steam? Is it for Christ or against Him? If you can see any indications that an Antichrist government is being developed and an Antichrist political power is coming to rise, take notice that beast number 1 is beginning to surface. Revelations 13, verses 11 through 17. To complement beast number 1, see, a Trinity works together. All the puzzles have to work together. God Himself has had a Trinity, a triune that works together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they all are in agreement and they all work in unison 100% of the time. So therefore, Satan has recruited an Antichrist Trinity. The second beast comes in and represents the Antichrist religion. Religions that rise up that are against the anointing of Jesus. Against the true Word of God. All kinds of religion. But there will be one religion surface that will be the Antichrist religion that the world will march to. Now out of that Antichrist religion, there will come new philosophies and new ideologies. These are the working instruments of the beast that the enemy himself, the devil who is enraged, the dragon who hates God's family and God's church and can't stand the anointing of Jesus Christ. This is his plan and his purpose. Why am I telling you this? Because we're in these days. Together behind the scene, the devil himself gives power and authority to the beast and the followers in order to deceive and discourage. Does the word not tell us in the last days many can be deceived? Even the elect of God, if not careful, can be deceived and discouraged from accepting one thing and receiving God's redemptive plan of salvation. Don't let 2012 be the year that you're ready to trade in Jesus' plan of redemption and power for something that the world has to offer, because in 2012 there's going to be much to offer from the world. But in Revelations 22, verses 7, 12, 16, and 20, John, the Revelator, has been recording everything that God had shown him for the church. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book." They are going to try and right now are taking away the prophetic word of Jesus and replacing it with other doctrines and other prophecies. But the prophecies in Revelation will come through and be as recorded. Verse 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as he work, as his work shall be." 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you that these things in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." He tells the world, He tells the church, I am that root out of the shoot of Jesse. The root was trying to be destroyed because the anointing oil was broken and the anointing on the kings was being stopped. But the Davidic covenant came back together and God said, David, I'll have a king sit on the throne through your blood lineage that will never ever be taken away again because they brought back the anointing oil. And David was anointed king under Samuel the priest, and David began to be an anointed king. Verse 20, surely I come quickly. All of these places, Jesus himself said, I will come quickly. Three times he told the church, I'll come quickly. John, in verse 20, agreed with the Lord and said, Amen. And he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. But I wanted to get to verse 21 this morning because I want to talk to you about pray for the return of Christ. See, verse 20, John was talking about Jesus coming back. He agreed with the Lord. Yes, it's going to happen quickly. Yes, he's coming. But in verse 21, he talks about the anointing. This is how he ends. This is the very last verse of scripture in your Bible. This is the place the church needs to revisit and live and stay here until he does decide to come. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I want those that are going to be teaching and preaching on the return of Jesus to get the message back to the church, to remember to call upon the name of Jesus, your Christ, my Christ, our Lord, and let His grace sustain us in the days that we're living and not worry so much about when it's actually going to happen. Amen. Be with you all. You know what that prayer is? Let the anointing come back in your house, in your church, and in your family, and you'll see the grace of God move again and hold you together until He comes. Why would John say, Amen, so come quickly. Yes, I'm ready. But then he knew that there was still time because he ends the Bible. And God found fit to give us one more verse. No matter how deep you go into prophecy, no matter how much you study all the parallels and the times and the seasons, you have to remember verse 21. And we need to reiterate in the church that in that verse it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Christ, the anointed. That's what Isaiah 10:27 is about. It said, because of the anointing oil, yokes on your shoulders are broken. It's talking to Israel, who had been given over to Egypt and in bondage because of disobedience. And God allowed them to have burden. But then Jesus talked to the remnant, the faithful, the remaining, and said, listen, I've got the best news of all. There's an anointing coming. There's an anointing coming. There's an anointing coming that's going to relieve your shoulders of burdens, going to get the neck loosened up, and that yoke that's been weighing you down is going to be destroyed. The Bible literally says that the anointing is the destroying agent that breaks the bondage of yoke. Turn with me now in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Pastor, what do I need to pray in 2012? Pray God's anointing. Pray for the return of Christ. Pray for the return of the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, if you'll stand with me, we'll read together. Verses 18 through 29. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? I want you to read that, hear that again. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? It doesn't say he that denieth Jesus. It says he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He who denies that the anointing resides in Jesus. He who denies that the power of the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. He who says that the church of Jesus Christ is not moving and manifesting in the power of God. They will let you talk about Jesus. But when you add that he is the Christ, that's when persecution is going to come. That's when they're going to make a plot against you and the church. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You can't separate God the Father. You can't separate God the Son. You can't separate the Holy Spirit. If you do, you have an Antichrist spirit because the anointing is rolled up into all three. Yes. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Yes. Now, here's for the church. This is for 2012 and every other year that God would grace us with. This is for you and me right now. We are in the last times. Let me tell you when the last time started. That was when Jesus was ready to go into heaven. When the church was born out of Pentecost, the end started beginning through that. And you and I are in the last days. Jesus is preparing to come again, and he's given instruction for you and I how to be ready for the Christ to return. How to receive him is in the next few verses. This is for the church. Let that therefore abide in you. Something's got to abide in you. Which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain. Something's got to remain. In you. Ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised unto us. That is eternal life. Your promise of eternal life is just as good today as it was when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Here's the warning. Here's the reason why the church has got to pray for the return of Christ. Here's the reason why the church has got to pray for the anointing to come back. Because they're seducing spirits. Seducing spirits trying to pull us apart, pull us away. Verse 27 talks about anointing. You ought to underline. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear. So now the writer is telling you and I that he, yes, most definitely, just like Revelation says, he will come, he will appear. But that's not the context of what he's talking about. He wants us to abide in something until he does come. And we got to get this message out into the streets again and get our eyes not on the signs and wonders of all the prophetic things coming to pass, but get our call and our prayer life back in line and say, God, return the anointing back on us. We need the return of Christ. He said there's something that you need to abide in. Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, do you know that Jesus is righteous? Do you know that? Then ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And everyone who does not do righteousness is born of an Antichrist spirit. Father, I thank you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
You are preparing your church. You are going to return.
Yes, Lord.
But Father, there's so much in your grace and in your anointing left for us, your body. We need you. Christ, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Love of God, we need you. We're praying and asking for the return of Christ in the church. May you abide with us and keep us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John is talking to us. And he said that there's one that's coming that I'm not worthy to undo the latches on his sandals. John baptized in water unto repentance. He prepared the church to get ready to repent through the blood. John was the forerunner of Jesus. John was preparing the church to be anointed, but he was not the anointed one. When Jesus came, the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 3 that when he comes, he brings a baptism with him. And the Bible says there in Matthew 3:11 that when he does baptize, he baptizes in the Holy Spirit and with fire. How is the church going to survive without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without the anointed one of Christ being the one who baptizes us into his anointing and be able to be fulfilling in the last days what he desires his church to do and look like is to be ready with the anointing at all times. Acts chapter 9. Saul had already been on the road to Damascus. Saul represents the enraged spirit of the Antichrist before coming to the Lord. Remember that the anointing is what breaks the yoke. The anointing oil, when you bring back the anointing oil, when you ask for Christ to come, when you abide in Christ, things begin to break, destroy, and gone. Saul was the one that was putting bondage, persecution, and he was destroying the church. He had letters in his hands to seize families that were serving the Christ, the Anointed One. On his way to Damascus, let me tell you, if it's true that David would say the words, "Touch not my anointed," when he was referring to King Saul, God said directly to Saul of Tarsus, "Touch not my anointing. You are not going to destroy everything that I have come to do. My anointing is greater than your anti-anointing. My anointing is greater than every persecution that you try to inflict upon the church of the living God." And Saul was stopped right in his track and knocked off of his high horse.
Yes, Lord. Yes, he was.
I'm here to tell you that in 2012, I believe God's going to take some high horse men and women who have risen up into power around the world, and God's going to get them off of the horse and say, I will decide when I come. I will decide whose anointing is going to win out. There is more good things in store for the church of the living God, because His anointing has not ran out, and I don't care what happens in this world. God is my Savior, and He is going to return. Don't mess with God's anointing, but pray for it to come again. Pray the return of Christ to the church. We don't need recitals in church. We don't need necessarily all the positive speaking in church. Not that that's bad. But when you don't get the anointing of the blood of Jesus flowing and manifesting in the church house again, nothing will break the yoke until the anointing shows up. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I'm ready to see some things busted right in the mouth by the anointing of God. What happened to Saul? Blind. He had to be carried and moved. He couldn't even function on his own. He ended up in another house. And God put him there and said, wait. I'm going to straighten you out. Thank God for a prayer warrior like Ananias, who was in the anointing of God to hear from heaven. And God spoke to Ananias and told him where Saul was. And He told him what to do. He said, I'm preparing. Saul had started praying. It's amazing. When the anointing of God shows up, the hardest of every hard heart will start to pray. What did Pharaoh say to them when all the plagues started happening? Pray to your God. Get this off. He might not have prayed with his own lips, but he was asking somebody to start praying. It's time that the church start praying for God's return. Christ's return. Return the anointing, Lord. Something happened to Saul. While he was praying, God was talking to Ananias. God told Ananias where to go and what to say. He said, I'm sending you. I want you to go and I want you to pray for his healing. He's going to receive sight again. Also, got something else to tell you, Ananias. You need to anoint him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him. Baptize him. Show him that the only real thing, real power, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ananias was human. He said, but God, I need a double check on this. I'm going to put a call straight through. Gabriel, just connect me straight to heaven. I got to talk to the Lord about this for a minute. You see, God, Saul's the guy down here that's been torturing us. You want me to go where? Talk to who? Pray for him. Why? Give him what? The anointing. God said, I've called him. I've chosen him. Saul was going to have to suffer many things for Christ. Church, the message is true for the living church of God today. We will have to suffer many things to maintain and hold on to and have the anointing of Christ. Because in the prayer of asking for Christ to return in his anointing, the world is going to recognize that you have the anointing in your life, and that's where the attack's coming. If you don't want the enemy to fight you, don't ask God's anointing to be in your life. But then don't pray to God and ask Him to deliver you from anything, because He's going to say, you don't want my anointing. God is going to line up His church. Bring us back to righteousness. Anointing will bring you back into righteousness. John in Revelation said, do you not know that Jesus is righteous? Then you and I need to be righteous. You can't be righteous unless you're anointed. You can't be anointed unless you've allowed the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Seek Him. What happened to Saul? Ananias shows up like any good pastor. It's the altar service. And as the Lord spoke to Ananias, He speaks to Saul. Saul, listen. The Lord spoke to me. Told me that I'm supposed to come here and pray for your healing. And I'm also going to pray that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As he was having conversation with Saul, something happened. Scales fell off of his, like scales, fell off of his eyes. I believe right there, the anointing that came in with Ananias, the point of the contact of anointing, made Saul see the truth. For the very first time, he realized that there is an anointed power in Christ. All the fight and all the fury and all the fuss about Jesus was because Jesus said, I am the anointed one. I have been anointed of God. I am the one anointed to preach and set the captive free, deliverance, and open up the blinded eyes, and to get all of these things free. And all of the fight and fuss and the fury with all the religion and all the leaders was that this can't be Christ. They would let him be Jesus, a good teacher. They would let him be a prophet of God, but they would not let him be Christ. And Paul's eyes, the scales began to fall off, and he said, yes, he is Christ. There is anointing in him. And then from there, as he received his healing, the Bible says he stood up. Church, we will stand again when the anointing is in the church. We will worship in spirit and in truth when the anointing comes. We will not just sit back, sit down, and lay down and just have a little bit of a time together. But when the anointing is welcome again in the church, when it's like Saul, who the scales begin to fall off and say, yes, there's still anointing in the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's still anointing in the Word of God. Yes, I want somebody to preach me the Word of God. Yes, I want somebody to sing to me about the Word of God. Yes, I want somebody to lay hands on me and pray for me by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I will see victory because our eyes have been opened up. What do you need to see? You need to see who is anointing. It's Christ. It's not the big tele-evangelist. He's not Christ. It's not the local pastor in your church. He's not Christ. It's not you in all your study and education of the Word of God. You're not Christ. But Saul, before he became Paul, had to see who is Christ. Greatest transformation is when you recognize anointing. See the anointing. People miss out. They leave where God's anointing is and they go look for something else. Because they can't see it. Scales are still on their eyes. But then Ananias prayed. Father God, fill Saul. Fill Saul. Oh, Shamakia Namasika Namas. Okay. Somebody that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come right now. Just like Saul, Ananias prayed, fill him with the Holy Spirit, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is the anointing that breaks every yoke in your life. Who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Somebody come stand behind her. My daughter. Tears have been stored in heaven. I'm hearing your prayers. Receive my anointing and pray. The anointing is going to break those yokes. Just worship him. Praise him. He's got an anointing on you. Anointing is he's rubbing, he's smearing, he's blessing, he's pouring into your spirit right now. It is anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. It is anointing that sets the captive free. We need Jesus Christ to return to the church. We need Jesus Christ to return in our families. We need Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives and our homes. Eddie, I want you to raise your hands. I want you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. You received him as your Lord. You've accepted him to forgive you of your sins. But I want you to let him be Christ. He's going to show you things through anointing. He's going to deliver you from things through his anointing. He's going to call you to righteousness. What you're going to receive this morning is the outpouring of his anointing. But remember, we have to maintain it. I want you to maintain everything that God has for you. Ask him to fill you with his anointing. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone else? Say, Pastor, I need this anointing of God. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My anointing is strength. Supernatural strength. Not mind strength. Not physical strength. My anointing is supernatural strength. I give you anointing. I will restore your cup to overflowing. Overflowing cups are to show the world that the anointing is not empty, but full. Not empty, but full. Let me this year fill you. Call it a full year in my anointing. Pray for the return of Christ. Pray for the anointing. I am sending my anointing on this house. I am sending my anointing on the believers who will receive me as Christ. I am calling my church to trust my anointing. You have not even yet seen what my anointing will do. Every trial, every temptation, every persecution, remember, I am the Lord who reigns. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Receive my anointing. The Holy Spirit has confirmed the direction for this church in 2012. Pray for the return of Christ. What are we saying? Let His anointing return on us. The last thing I want to say to the church in closing is, if you really want to know what the gospel message is that was preached, both on the day of Pentecost by Peter, he preached about Christ Jesus. You read in your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 9, mark it. After he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he went, talking about Saul, and he spent some time with the disciples. But right after spending time with the disciples, he went into the synagogues and he preached, and the Bible says he preached Christ. Yes. He preached Christ. He preached the anointing. He preached the anointing. He preached the anointing. Brother Ron, I want you to slide over behind Tim. Tim, God's no respecter of persons. There's no pre-qualifications except being born again to receive the baptism of His Holy Spirit. The whole message this morning is about, this is what you need to have abiding inside of you. You won't always be able to get to church. You won't always get to hear the true preaching of the prophets and men of God. There's going to come a time when you must know the truth inside your heart by the anointing of God Himself through the power of His Holy Spirit. It's our seal. It's our guarantee that we belong to Him. Also, the Holy Spirit in that anointing is able to teach us. I'm believing when I pray for you this morning, Tim, that the scales, like what Saul had, are going to come off of your spiritual eyes, and God's going to show you things of His Word. And God's going to get you ready and do more things as He anoints you for you and your family. We're also going to pray for your wife. Surgery is going to be coming up, and we need God's anointing. Pray the anointing of God for healing and deliverance. I want you to receive. I want you to just raise both hands. And as the words of the Lord might come up in your spirit, it's going to be like a bubble, like a spring, and it's just going to begin to flow on the inside of you. And if you just can say, praise the Lord, if you just say hallelujah, if you just say amen, as the Holy Spirit allows and you give the Holy Spirit place in your life, He will take your tongue, your lips, and He will form your heavenly language. You can't be taught. You can't be instructed. It's not programmed. It's an anointing. It's the gift of God. All of us who have received the birth of Jesus in our spirit are able to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, I thank You for a believer. I thank You for the scales of spiritual darkness and blindness. Lord Jesus, no longer being there. Lord, as he reads His Word, the Holy Word of God,
yes,
things begin to open up.
Yes.
Lord, and the understanding of his mind is not his own, but it's of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, I thank You, hallelujah, that it begins to flow. Lord, it's your gift to your church and to your family. God, prepare him for all these great things that you have in store. I pray for his wife. I pray, Lord, that there be healing. I pray, Father, that there be deliverance. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there be great things in store because of the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah! The yoke that is broken by the anointing of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, Shamba Babari Hatanda Dariana. Oh, Shapakataya Lama Shapakotaya. Thank you, Lord. Total peace. Total rest. There's a bondage lifted. There's a yoke that's been destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense it. I sense it in your heart.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Keep him. Pray for the anointing. Pray for the anointing. Pray for the return of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that desire to take communion this morning, I want you to come. If you have to sit down, just come and sit on the first two benches. Take the covers off of the elements. Begin to distribute the blood, the broken body of Jesus. What is communion? The Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember Christ who is anointed, his broken body, his righteous blood, was so that the church could maintain and hold on in the last days to the anointing of Jesus. You've taken communion before, but take it in his anointing this morning. While you're still gathering the bread, getting the wine, the blood, every heart should pray, God, search me. If I have carried something over from 2011 that was wrong, if I have bitterness in my heart, do you remember that Jesus described the blood that he had to partake of as a bitter cup? He's saying this morning, thank you, Holy Spirit. God just spoke in my spirit and said, bitterness has got to go. He drank the bitter cup. He swallowed it. He took it down with him that the church would not be a bitter church in the last day. Let them beat on our doors. Let them break out our windows. But they cannot have our anointing. Don't be a bitter church. Don't be a bitter person. What will break bitterness is the blood of Jesus, remembering he is Christ. I don't care what has been done to you. Make a decision on purpose with all your heart this morning. God, relieve me of bitterness. I am not going to be a bitter person in the church. I am not going to be a bitter person in my house. I am not going to be a bitter person to my children, my grandchildren. I am not going to be a bitter person on the job. I am not going to be a bitter person because Jesus drank the cup of bitterness. Bitterness will stop the anointing, the breaking point that you need. I want to read this morning. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Let's eat the bread." And he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's drink this morning. Thank you, Lord. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you this day, for you are sending forth your anointing upon your church. God, lead us and prepare us in this year to come. Help us to maintain, keep our vision on the return of Christ, the return of the anointing of Jesus to the church. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You are dismissed this morning.